story takes place about 150 AD in Italy's Rome. Our main character, 17-year-old Felix, grew up in a family where his dad was the elder of the local congregation. Felix had given his life to Christ at a young age. As his parents watched him grow into a young man, it became apparent that Felix had a gift of understanding and explaining the Word of God, just as his father. The story will show us how Felix decided to use his God-given gift. Now, Felix and his close friend Lucius shared a great love for sports, especially foot racing. Both were very athletic and loved the great races, which were foot races held every few years in different parts of the world, where the winner received a beautiful crown of leaves as a symbol of honor. This year, the race would take place in their own city. With the passion of this sport connecting them, the two friends would often spend hours talking and dreaming about the upcoming races just a few months away.
You know what, Lucius? One day, I want to be the one to stand on the podium and get the winner's crown.
You know that's only possible with a lot of training. We have a long ways to go before we're even ready to compete.
I know. That's why we should make our own training plan to prepare for that day.
Hey, that's a great idea.
And so, the boys agreed to meet regularly to train. It did not take long before they noticed real improvement. They were running faster and stronger. Seeing their progress, they were more motivated than ever to discipline themselves and dedicate their bodies to training, for this is what they love to do. Later that day, Felix's family gathered for their daily scripture reading. Since Felix's father was the elder, the sacred scrolls, which we now call the Word of God, were kept in their home.
Let us continue reading out of Matthew for today. Who wants to read?
I'll read. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?"
Deny himself? What does that mean? I know Christ has saved me, but I cannot be his disciple if I don't deny myself.
My dear family, do we know what it means to take up the cross and follow Christ?
I was wondering that too. We do not talk about it very often.
That is right. Why do you think that is?
I think it is because we as humans do not like to take our cross upon us and follow Christ. We all have our own passions and ambitions, and to deny ourselves and yield completely to Christ's will, well, that's against our nature.
Exactly. What is a cross for?
Simple. It's made to crucify someone.
You got it. When Jesus said this, he already knew that he would die on a cross. And just as Jesus died and yielded his will to the Father's will, so we must die to our own will and live for his. The cross is a beautiful picture for that. No one carries a cross for no reason, and Jesus calls each one of us to take up our cross and follow him. Let us end our evening with a song before heading to bed.
That night, Felix had a hard time falling asleep. Does taking up my cross really mean to let go of my passions and ambitions? He wondered. If that were true, he could not live with only winning the crown of glory on mind. But he was not ready to give that up. Not yet. Besides, he and Lucius were in this together. In the background of his thoughts, the words of the hymn they had just sung still rang, but with no meaning to him. I will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. congregation of Rome was growing rapidly at the time. New believers were joining the group every week. Now, the father of Felix, who served as the elder of the congregation, was trying his best to meet the needs of all the new believers, training them to be strong disciples for the Lord. But the work was too much for him, and there were not enough men who were spiritually ready to help him. One night, he shared his concerns with his wife.
We desperately need more workers in the ministry, but there's just not enough men who are ready to help.
Have you considered that Felix might be a good help? I know he's still young, but he has had the blessing of growing up with the scriptures right in his home, unlike many believers.
I thought about that too. I can see that the Lord is giving him an understanding to his word. Sometimes when I hear him talking to others, I'm amazed at what he knows.
Don't you think he would be the perfect help then?
I would love if he could see that for himself as well, but I think he is too focused on being an athlete right now.
Maybe talking to him would be a good idea. The Spirit might have already spoken to his heart.
Maybe so. I would love to see where the Lord might be leading him, if he's willing. How has the training been going?
It has been great. Lucius and I take turns counting while the other runs, trying to beat our record every day. And yesterday, for the very first time, I broke my record by 5 pounds.
Are you sure he just didn't count slower because he's your friend?
No, Dad. Lucius and I promised each other we would always count 100% fairly. And you know what that means?
What does it mean?
Last year's winner won by 29 counts. I had 32. That's only 3 counts less. I'm almost as fast as last year's winner. Can you believe it?
Whoa, that's impressive.
Now, all I need is for the professional trainer here in Rome to help me get into the actual great race.
Then will you become a full-time athlete?
That would be a dream come true.
I believe you, and I'm happy for you. But have you thought about how you could serve the Lord while being an athlete? Or how you could use the knowledge God has given you?
I guess I've been too busy training to think about spiritual work much.
I meant to talk to you exactly about that, but I've been trying to find educated men who can help me disciple all the new and young believers, but you know, there are very few men who are ready for such a responsibility.
Are you asking me for help? I don't know if I can. My training schedule is already full, and I barely have time for anything else, but maybe I can help a little when I'm not too busy.
I thought that might be your answer. Just remember, there is a difference between the reward for the race that you were training for, and the reward for the spiritual race.
Felix had been hard set on his dream and goal from the moment his father began speaking, until he heard the words, "There is a difference between the rewards." Those words troubled him. What exactly had his father meant by them?
I can hear.
The day of the great race was quickly approaching, and the two young men could hardly wait to attend the event. Only they had not considered one important thing.
Have you thought about that the race takes place on Friday afternoon, the same time as the assembly's prayer time?
Oh, you're right. We've been so busy training and looking forward to this big day that we forgot about that. What should we do? We can't just miss this race. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to see it in our own city. At the same time, the assembly will be concerned if we are not there. No one ever misses out unless someone is sick.
I'm not too worried about myself. With the right words, I might even be able to convince my parents to go see the race. But you, on the other hand, I'm not so sure you'll have the same luck. Your father being the elder.
Exactly. What should I do? I will talk to my parents about it. Maybe they'll understand and allow me to go as well.
Felix spoke with his parents that evening. He expected his parents to give him peace of mind by telling him what or what not to do. But their answer did not satisfy him.
My son, I think of you as a mature young man. You have given your life to Christ. Do as you believe your master would want you to do.
Felix carried a heavy heart for the next few days, not knowing what event he should miss. Finally, he came to the conclusion. He decided he would go to the race and miss just one prayer meeting. He told himself that the Lord cared about his interests too, and that surely he wouldn't mind him missing prayer meeting just once. Little did he know that this would not be his only time missing the assembly. The day of the great race came at last. Felix and Lucius arrived early, eager for the best view. The athletes lined up, the trumpet sounded, and the runners shot forward. The Roman competitor was the winner, crossing the finish line first. Then he received the honoring crown. The sight thrilled the two young men and only set fire to their desire of becoming athletes themselves. Their training soon became far more demanding than Felix expected. They joined Rome's professional training group, where they learned strict discipline. 6 days a week, even evenings, were devoted to training. All activities outside of training were forbidden, including attending any religious meetings for complete concentration purposes. In just a few months, the young men would face their first competition, where only the top three would earn the right to run in the great races. On one evening, Felix sat reading a scroll from the Holy Writings. Lucius joined him. Suddenly, Lucius asks,
"Have your parents accepted the fact that you have missed all of the prayer meetings while you're in training?"
It was hard for them to accept it at first, but I think they're used to it now.
What about you? Does it not bother you to be away from the congregation for so long?
I try to not think about it too often, otherwise it troubles me. And just the other day, I heard that there's a missionary coming down from Jerusalem to teach in our assembly in a few months from now. I don't feel right about having to miss that too, but I really don't want to be disqualified from the race. Sometimes I cannot help wondering if in reality I'm letting my parents down, and our Lord as well. I think my Lord expects something different of me.
What do you mean? Training is part of your life now. I think you're overthinking it.
Well, the other day my dad came and talked to me and indirectly asked me to help disciple the new coming of believers in our assembly.
And what did you say to that?
Lucius, I don't just want to throw away my dream, and on top of all that, all my hard work. Training new believers is a full-time job, you know. I told him that I would help him when I wasn't busy training, but so far I have not had the chance.
Good, because if you start spending all your time into that, you will fall behind and all of our training will be wasted. Plus, you cannot add so much focus into the congregation. You will get overwhelmed. Friends and sports are important too.
I know, but deep down I feel convicted that I should not miss out so much.
I did not mean to trouble you with this. Let's change topics. What are you reading?
I am about halfway through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It says here, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you."
That's exactly why the people hated Paul. He was way too eager for the gospel. And look where it got them. In the end, they killed him.
When Felix felt Lucius's negative attitude, he didn't know what to reply and continued reading.
"Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." That is exactly what I would want to do in a few weeks. Stand on that podium and receive the winner's honor and crown. Anyway, I'll keep reading. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." That is what my dad was talking about the other day.
What did he say?
He said something about the difference between the reward for this race and the spiritual race. Here Paul says that the athlete's crown fades, but the crown for the spiritual race never does.
Lucius, being afraid that his friend was convicted to give up his dream, said,
Felix, do not tell me that you're thinking of dropping out of the race just because of what you were reading. You know you will betray me if you do.
Felix knew that Lucius would never leave the training, even if he himself did. He began to see that devoting his life to be an athlete did not allow him to dedicate his life for the spiritual race. A sense of guilt came over him. Deep down, he wanted to surrender to the Lord's will, but it would be painfully humbling to give up all his hard work. Plus, it could cost him his friend. Felix had learned a long time ago what it had meant for him to take up his cross and follow the Lord's calling. One evening, as the family had just finished their daily scripture reading and were sitting together outside enjoying the last warm rays of the sun before it set, the moment to share his story had come.
Would you allow Felix and I a moment to ourselves while the rest of you go inside and prepare for bed? Felix, have I ever told you how it became that I became a preacher of the word?
I know that I was calling from God, but I don't know the details.
When I grew up, my father was a very well-known sailor.
I didn't know that.
My dream was to be just like my father. I worked day and night to know all that there was to know about sailing. After the age of 12, I never missed a single boat journey my father made. Rain or shine, I was there always.
So, what changed your mind to become a preacher?
It was not just a simple change of mind, as if suddenly I decided, now I want to become a preacher instead of a sailor.
You mean you didn't want to be a preacher?
Not at all. And besides, sailing paid well. That was part of the dream, too.
Then what happened?
I was already a believer at that time and studied God's word when I could, only enough to quiet my conscience. Sailing was still my life, everything I thought and wanted. And then one day, while reading the scroll of Matthew's gospel, I came across these words. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. When I read that, something inside me broke. I cannot explain it another way. Those words did not feel like ink on parchment. They felt spoken directly to me.
What do you mean?
I suddenly realized that sailing, the thing I called my life, I'd quietly taken the place that belonged to the Lord. I wanted to take pride in following my father's footsteps, but the Lord was asking me for my whole heart. And Felix, I wrestled with that. I truly did. For weeks, I went about my work with a heaviness in my chest. I prayed half-heartedly that the burden would go away, but it only grew stronger. At night, I would lie awake, imagining what my father would say if I told him I was leaving the ships. I feared disappointing him. I feared giving up everything I had worked for, but more than anything, I feared hearing the Lord say, "You are not worthy of me, because sailing means more to you than I do." Finally, when the wrestling became too heavy to bear, I decided I would trust and obey. I told my father that the Lord was calling me away from the sea and that I would no longer join his voyages. Instead, I took a simple part-time job and devoted the rest of my time to studying the scriptures. It was at that decision that I truly found my life in Christ.
Take out your cross and follow me. I heard my master say.
Take up the cross and follow me. I heard my Lord say, I gave my life to ransom you. Surrender your all today. I surrendered my will to his and sought his will to know. With that, he drew me closer to his side, and in that will I now abide. It may be through the shadows dim or o'er the stormy sea. I take the cross and follow him wherever he leads me.
Felix was moved by his dad's testimony. He knew that the Lord was calling him too, to something other than racing. But was he willing to let go of his dream like his dad had? He was lost for words and did not know how to respond to that. The Jerusalem missionary had arrived in Rome and would be starting his teaching soon. Although Felix was at risk of being disqualified from the races, after his conversation with his dad, he was even more convinced that it was the right thing to do to attend the teachings. He had a desire to be confident in what the Lord wanted of him.
Brothers and sisters, I greet you all in the name of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. My name is Simon. I'm a missionary sent out by the Lord's will and a congregation in Jerusalem. As I journey to visit the different assemblies, the Lord has laid on my heart to speak to you about a willingness to follow him.
Felix did not miss a single teaching from that missionary. He was drawn to what the speaker had to say. On the final evening, Felix felt as though he was directly speaking to him.
Brothers and sisters, are you willing to surrender whatever stands between you and Christ? Or do your own desires hold you back from fully surrendering to him? Hear the words of Paul to the Romans and to us who are here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
These words cut Felix to the heart. He was convicted that he could either continue doing what he was doing with his training or give up his life completely and follow Christ. The options were clearly in front of his eyes. Now the question is not what did Felix decide? The question is, what do we decide when we come to a situation like this? We all have to deny ourselves and follow Christ. We have to make this choice daily. Is there something in your life more important than surrendering completely to Christ?